The first case to be argued this morning will be Don Carter versus Randall Simpson. Mr. Grauer?
May it please the court, counsel. It was a morning not unlike today, kind of a bright day, and rush hour traffic early in the morning, say around 7 o'clock in the morning. And I'm a police officer, and I've overheard over my radio that there's been a natural death. So I'm not responding to the call, but I'm decided to put on my lights and go to that location. So I'm going down the road at a relatively high speed in this morning rush hour traffic, and I come up to an intersection, and the cars are backed up. So I cross over the center line. Now I'm going down the wrong way on the road. I go through a red light, and I'm going on the wrong way through this red light, and I run into a woman that's going at right angles to me through a green light. And she can't...
You do a lot of trial work, don't you?
Pardon me?
You do a lot of trial work, don't you?
I've tried cases in practically every county from here to Rockford.
Well, I used to, too. But I want you to know there's no jury here, and we've all read the briefs.
Okay. Thank you. My point is, Judge, why can't this woman recover? The second district appellate court has already ruled in this case. In fact, you are the fourth court to hear this case, and we haven't even gotten to trial yet.
This is, of course, a 1983 case. What I want to know is whether it makes a difference or not, in your opinion, whether Officer Simpson slowed down at all before he entered the intersection.
It's just one factor.
Well,
just one factor.
I understand it's a factor, but if... Well, let's back up. If the people in the County of Sacramento case lost, and that was a pretty outrageous case, I mean, I think those facts were something that made all of us feel very, very sorry for the victims, and nonetheless, the law was not enough to allow them to win, then even though what happened to your client was, of course, a terrible thing, why does she have a case?
No question, Judge. The Section 1983 is our weakest argument, and I'll admit that.
Okay.
I think our case is more of a negligence case. We put in a Section 1983 because we don't know what some court might decide down the line, but quite frankly, I think the real issue in this case, and I also agree that the willful and wanton is probably, as well, our weaker argument. But why the Illinois statute provides, specifically, Section 11205 under the Illinois Vehicle Code, that emergency vehicles can violate the vehicle codes. They can go through red lights, they can go the wrong way, they can travel at unreasonable rates of speed, but what? They must do so with due care. When he goes through that intersection, he can do that through the red light, but he must do so with due care. Why isn't that a question of fact? I think that the mistake that the district court makes here is that rather than deciding whether the issues exist, it decided the issues. It decides the issue here regarding its emergency call that he was in the execution of enforcement of the law. The second district appellate court, which is, I assume, three reasonable judges who reviewed the evidence on the appellate court level, quote, said...
Well, we know what they said. I mean,
okay.
I guess I want to focus in then. You're really stressing then your negligence claim, your diversity jurisdiction-based negligence claim.
Yes.
Is what you're stressing. And it's your argument that under the various Illinois statutes that... Officer Simpson might raise in defense because of the emergency nature of the situation, because of the fact that at least death of some sort, natural whatever, was involved. Nonetheless, it's your view under the Illinois laws that he doesn't have a complete defense to this case.
My argument is that it's a question of fact as to whether or not it's this, quote, emergency call. But the question of fact as to whether he was executing or enforcing any law. He's not, at the time he collides with her, this is not some police chase.
He's not chasing somebody. He's not enforcing a law. He's breaking the law, but he's allowed to do that as long as he does so with due care. And that's at the time they have a collision.
Yeah, he's driving in a hurry to some other place where he believes something requiring his supervision, his intervention is required.
But I'm a little hard of hearing. I didn't catch that.
I was just saying he's driving in a hurry to some other place where he believes his presence is necessary, right?
I would agree with that.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you.
Mr. Rock?
May it please the court, counsel, Paul Brucker on behalf of Deputy Simpson. First of all, I would agree with counsel that his 1983 claim and his workers, or his willful and wanton claim are weak. In fact, there has been no showing of a shock to the conscience, an intent to harm, deliberate indifference, or willful and wanton conduct.
The only thing done, the willful and wanton, the case that we have is Young versus Borges, does seem to think say that in circumstances like this where you have disputes about what happens, that it could be or maybe should be a fact question, and they disagree with Hampton, Fourth Circuit of Illinois.
Yeah, this case was decided in the Second Circuit, or it was filed in the Second Circuit originally, and unlike Young versus Forget, the Hampton case, the facts in Hampton are very similar to this case. And the Seventh Circuit has indicated that the deliberate indifference standard is remarkably similar to the willful and wanton standard. There's been no showing of deliberate indifference, and therefore I believe there has been no showing of willful and wanton either under the Seventh Circuit guidelines.
I mean, you don't think a jury could find, based on the conflict in testimony, about whether he really did slow down before he entered the intersection, whether he just barreled on through it, whatever it was, you know, 40 miles an hour or something. I realize there's a little bit of estimation going on that. But some jury couldn't find this was, in fact, willful and wanton under the relevant Illinois precedent.
I don't believe that the testimony is conflicting as to what occurred. I don't believe he was barreling through the intersection. The evidence is clear that he slowed down and checked the intersection before he went through it.
Well, that's not what some of the witnesses said. I mean, I know some people did say that, but I thought that there was some disparity in the account.
Well, plaintiff relies on the testimony of Emily Vaselli saying that he went through at 40 to 45 miles per hour, but she indicated in her testimony that he did not go through at 45 or 40 miles per hour. She, in fact, said she would be lying if she said he was going through at 40, 45, or 35. She said she didn't know how fast he was going. That's the principal testimony that the plaintiff relies on in this case.
I remember that she also said he was driving like a maniac, though, didn't she?
Yes, but when you look at her testimony, that does not stand up. She said that, but she also said she didn't know how fast he was going, that she didn't know whether he checked the intersection. She doesn't know that. And she said that he was not doing 40 or 45. He was doing a speed that she would enter that intersection at, and she also indicated he had his lights and sirens on to safely enter that intersection.
But I thought there was testimony that one's view of him, particularly where he was driving, was not a clear, unobstructed view since he'd moved into the oncoming traffic lane.
I think you are referencing Officer Sellers, the Illinois State Trooper, who came 2 hours later to the scene. He did not say that her view was obstructed. He said it was merely a possibility.
Right. So, anyway, I mean, it seems to me people, these things happen very quickly, and people estimate speeds when they're sitting still. I'm not sure when she describes him as driving like a maniac, whether a quibble over whether it's 30 miles an hour or 40 miles an hour is enough to make it a non-jury question. There's other testimonies I recall that he slowed all the way down to 5 miles an hour, and she wouldn't have made that mistake, I don't think. That's almost a halt.
Well, she indicated she didn't know how fast he was going, though.
But she didn't mean 5 miles an hour, wouldn't you agree? Some people stop at stop signs at 5 miles an hour, more or less.
Oh, I don't agree.
Okay.
With regards to the plaintiff's argument regarding the emergency, 10-5-106, the Tort Immunity Act, says that the police officer is entitled to immunity if he was a public employee, which that's undisputed. If he was acting within the scope of his employment, that is also undisputed. and he was operating a motor vehicle, that's undisputed, and he was responding to an emergency. So the plaintiff argues in her brief that there was no emergency because no law had been broken and no crime had been committed. You don't need a crime to be committed or a law to be broken. And in fact, plaintiff admits in her brief at page 5 and at page 20 that Deputy Simpson was responding to a death call. Plaintiff also admitted in response to the defendant's 51.6 statement of fact that a death call is an emergency call. So she has admitted that a death call is an emergency call and also admitted that he was on a death call. Therefore, it's undisputed that he was responding to an emergency call, and under the terms of 5106, he's entitled to the immunity in the negligence claim. Accordingly, it's Deputy Simpson's position that the district court properly determined that the evidence was such that no reasonable jury could return a verdict for Carter, and summary judgment was proper.
Thank you.
Thanks very much.
I'm sorry,
I'm sure, Judge, what you meant.
I called the wrong name the other time.
Okay. I now understand the implication of your first question regarding the speed. The Illinois statutes provide, the Illinois Vehicle Code provides, that you must drive at all times at a reasonable speed under the circumstances. And I submit to you that that's why there's a question of fact here regarding the speed issue, because you're driving rush hour traffic, you're driving the wrong way, you're driving through a red light. Whether it's 5 miles an hour or 50 miles an hour, some jury may decide if you drive by a shopping center where people are coming out of a Target store with children and you're driving at 5 miles an hour, that might be too fast. So I think it is a question of fact.
Would you look forward to trying a case strictly on willful and wanton?
Pardon me, Judge?
Would you look forward to trying your case strictly on a willful and wanton issue?
Would I afford?
Would, no, I'm sorry.
Would you look forward
would
to
you
it?
Want to do, would you want to try your case strictly on the willful and wanton issue? Because
no.
It seems to me that the case law at least might give you that.
I'd rather try it on negligence than willful and wanton.
Well, I understand that.
But if I had to, I'd like to give this woman a day in court, yeah.
Okay.
Thanks.
Case will be taken under advisement. Move on to the